Welcome into the RA Sports Podcast. With me is Brady Scott.
What up?
Brady, how you doing today, man? No, we're not in studio together. You having a busy day?
Nah, I ain't done too much. Woke up about 10:50. Went and got my hair cut, and I'm back at the house recording with you, man.
Sounds like an eventful morning.
Nah, just chilling mostly. Ain't much to do here in the big metropolitan of Waynesboro.
That's true. You could always, you know, just go get good food. That's about it.
Oh, I definitely am after this is over.
All right. Well, there's not a whole lot to talk about, so let's just go ahead and dive into it with a few coaching changes, and we may as well start with right here in Oxford. Mike McIntyre is named the new defensive coordinator at Ole Miss. There were a lot of reports coming out, and we were actually told that an offer for Pete Golding was on the table.
Yes.
And he agreed in principle and then backed out in the last minute, and they didn't waste time waiting for him. And then they bring Mike McIntyre in. And how do you feel about it, and what do you see moving forward for the program?
I mean, obviously, I would love to get Pete Golding in Oxford. But the more I think about it, the more I'm sort of okay with it, and it sort of needs to work. But I would have much rather had a younger guy that's more energetic that also knows what's going on. McGriff was very energetic, but obviously didn't know what was going on. And we'll see what McIntyre does. I mean, I never thought Colorado had a great defense. So I really don't know much about him is what I guess I'm going to say. And maybe he can come in and teach some people how to tackle.
Yeah, that's a big thing for him right now. And they're undisciplined, especially on the ends and linebacker position.
And, I mean, our safeties are always lost.
Yeah, that there's no denying any of that. I think the thing with the most is, and I know there were a lot of Oklahoma fans in our mentions over the weekend when we reported, you know, what we had heard. Oklahoma thinks they're in the running for Pete Golding, and they may as well. They may be.
I don't see how he can turn down. I mean, I tweeted out, I don't see how you can turn down $1.5 million, which is $850,000 more than you make right now.
Yeah, it's almost double what you make.
And you're getting a promotion, basically, to defense coordinator, and you don't take it. That just – Saban must see something in that man. He has to. Or either he would be gone right now. He'd be in Oxford right now. Unless Saban was in his ear, and I fully believe that, because you don't turn down an $850,000 raise and promotion to stay where you're at for no reason.
Yeah, because Oklahoma is prepared to offer him 1.2 to 1.4, and they may actually bump it.
Yeah,
but I just don't see why you would go to Norman and not come to Oxford in the basis of you just want to stay in Alabama.
Yeah.
He feels like that's better for his career.
I mean, there's not much difference between the two schools other than Oklahoma's offense is better than ours.
Yeah.
And that's Lincoln the only Riley difference. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and predict that he will be the next Kirby Smart to come from Nick Saban's tree. And we'll see how that plays out. I'm going to make that bold statement.
It's hard to not think that. And I don't really think that's even that big of a statement, because – if Saban's trying to keep him, obviously that tells you something about him.
Yeah, because I don't think he lets anybody – I don't think he keeps anybody else without offer, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he did this with Kirby. Kirby got offers every year, and he's like, hold on, you're not ready yet, you're not ready yet. And he got the Georgia offer and went to Georgia, and he's like, there you go, that's yours, you're ready, go do it. And you see what's happened.
Yeah, and – also, here's how I feel like it's going to play out, and I'm not 100% sure. This is just my thoughts on it. If he was offered 1.5 here, then he's going to have to be offered more money than what he's making right now.
Yeah.
And I know that you don't think that they can do it, but I would suspect that Lopu is going to get moved up to about 1.5, and Golden will get bumped up to about $1 million.
I don't see that happening. I just don't see where they're going to get – I mean, I know you have the money, but there's a cap on it at some point. And I just don't see how they can pay everybody what they need to pay, because now they got to go out and pay a new offense coordinator as well.
Okay, well, I'm glad you mentioned that because there's reports coming out today that they're going to bump Dan Enos to offensive coordinator, and I think that's going to be what saves them money.
I think that's a good move. I think they can get him for about a mil or 1.1. But their DC right now is only making 1.1 as well, and I don't see how you can have three assistants making north of $1 million.
Well, the thing with Enos is you know, he's already the quarterback's coach there, and maybe he's just going to take a little bit more to be the play call. I don't know what the contract is with it, but I feel like he's going to be their next OC, and I felt that way ever since Loxley left.
Yeah. And the only reason we could offer him 1.5 is because we have Luke so cheap.
Yeah, and
because us getting Luke so cheap, we can pay our assistants more than basically anybody in the country right now with the money we have left over.
Yeah, Longo's contract isn't, but for like, I think, $700,000.
No, it's not much at all. But we signed him when Freeze was making $4 and $5 million a year.
Yeah. And even then, you know, Ross Bjork came out and said, we're prepared to pay whatever coordinator we need, however much money, if we see it fit. You know, if they think that he's worth it, we'll pay him 1.8.
Well, if they're looking at it, they need to stop paying Phil Longo.
Yeah. I really think something should happen after early signing period.
I'm hoping it does because it's been real quiet out of Oxford about him. And especially with this coming out that we run plays called Get Open. There's no coming back from that.
No. Yeah, we were told by an inside person that he wouldn't be back in Oxford, and then they kept him on because he was looking at other schools for head coaching positions.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to let him leave on his own.
And also, I think they were trying to stabilize the early signing period because it is a big
deal. Yeah, it's a big deal, especially when we have some of these bigger guys on the fence.
And yeah, the thing with Longo leaving, you're not really leaving anybody in the dust because there's not many big-time offensive weapons committed in early signing period. It's mostly offensive linemen and defensive guys.
Yeah.
And so I think with that'll be a good push to get somebody else.
We had a big JUCO receiver in this past weekend, that big guy from East Mississippi. He was in Oxford this past weekend, and if we could get him, that'd be a big get on the outside, especially after losing DK, AJ, and Lodge. You're losing your three upperclassmen. He'll be a junior, so bring in a guy with a little more experience to help out these young guys as they figure it out in the SEC.
Yeah, and also getting the wide receiver. You know, most people probably just want to come play for Peeler.
No, I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah. I feel like he's a really good recruiter.
Yeah.
And he's the reason that guy would be in the running, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's the reason we're getting all these guys not long ago, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know if we've discussed it. I can't remember when the report came out with Hugh Freeze going to Liberty and turning down offensive coordinator positions. And
we didn't.
And how do you feel
about that? We did not get a chance to discuss it. I like it. I just think he wanted to be a head coach and get out of all the big school drama for a little bit, because honestly, he's not going to be at Liberty for more than 2 years, I don't believe. And it's going back. He has a relationship with their it's a private Christian school, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and he has a relationship with their campus pastor who got him there last year or the year before sometime. And it was the first place where he sort of told his story about what all happened at Ole Miss and what all went down with that with his family and stuff. And I think him and that pastor, watching his press conference, have maintained a pretty good relationship and are now pretty good friends. So I believe that helped them land them because of their campus pastor and the relationship that they already had with Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, and I like it because – you know, all the off-field stuff. You can say whatever you want to about Hugh Freeze, but
everybody does.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no dispute.
No. And I honestly believe he's a good Christian, man. I mean, he said did you watch his press conference?
Yes, I did.
I mean, for him to come out and then say that his wife called him the godliest man she's ever met after what went wrong, after all that went down, you know he's a good guy. He's got mixed up in some of the wrong things that happen.
And that comes with the spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially if you get too famous too fast. You look at Manziel, and he just couldn't handle it. And you look at him now, and he's more relaxed and settled in and understands. So I think it's a good move for Liberty for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They got the best coach on the market.
Especially coming up to the FBS level. I mean, and their coach retiring, they couldn't have got a better name for that job. And I think in two – even if he's there only 2 years, in two short years, he can turn that program around and get it headed in the right direction for the next guy. And more than likely, somebody off of his staff there will get that coaching position.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and make my aired out statement. They'll be bowl eligible this year. They'll make a bowl game.
Yeah. I mean,
they'll win six.
Weren't they? Didn't they win five this year or something like that? Or they won six? They just didn't get a bowl.
Yeah, I think they won six, but they weren't bowl eligible because it was their first year at FBS. Yeah. And this year, if they win six, they'll be bowl eligible.
Yeah. I mean, that would be big for that school and that program.
No, absolutely. And with Hugh Freeze coming in, right, the first year will be probably tougher than what they anticipate because he doesn't have his full staff there.
Nah.
And with the early signing period, it's hard for him to get recruits in right now.
And
so it's going to be fun to see how that plays out.
I think the thing that really tipped it for him and going to Liberty instead of one of these other big schools is his contract's over $1 million. And if he would have went to be OC at Auburn or another place like that, he's not going to get much more than he's making now. And plus, he can still be the head coach and call his own shots. So I think that played a key role in it, is that they were able to offer him over $1 million.
Yeah, the thing that I, if anything, I would have liked to have seen is for him to go to Florida State as the OC and just hang up "This is our state" banners all over the place.
No,
take a big dump on Dan Mullen.
That would have been fine. Yeah. Dan Mullen, well, hate you, Freeze.
Butch Jones, you know, he gets fired from Tennessee.
Yeah,
and
unpaid analyst.
He's an offensive analyst. Yeah. He is now going to Maryland as a tight ends coach with Michael Loxley.
Hmm. I wouldn't want Butch Jones on my staff.
You have to think, will he ever get another head coaching position? Because he is literally starting from the bottom after being fired from Tennessee. And he didn't have a losing record. Is the thing. He had two top 10 recruiting classes.
And that's the thing that hurt him. He had all those recruiting classes, and he could never do more than 8-9 games. And that's the reason he was eventually ran out of Tennessee, not because he was recruiting or anything. They just couldn't translate it to wins on the field.
But with the thing with Butch Jones, in my opinion, is that, you know, he's pretty much he's a grad assistant right now, and then now he's going to go be a tight ends coach, and then he'll have to work his way back up to be an offensive coordinator, and then possibly a head coach somewhere.
He'll never be a head coach at the level that he was. I don't think he'll ever be a Power 5 head coach again, unless it's at a place like Rutgers or Kansas. Well, not Kansas anymore, because that program's probably going to get built a little better, so he probably couldn't even get a job there. One of these low Power 5 schools, but other than that, he won't get another Tennessee job unless he's cleaning the bathrooms or something.
You took the words right out of my mouth, because I was thinking, you know, he might get one of the lower-level Power 5s.
Yeah.
And obviously, Rutgers is the first one that comes to everyone's mind. But
and then talking about that brings something to my mind. How bad Rutgers is, I just think that shows how good of a job Greg Schiano actually did there. Because he actually won games there, and Rutgers was relevant while he was there. And what have they been since he left?
Okay, well, I'm not a big Schiano fan, and. So it's hard for me to.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I just respect the work that he did there and making them. You got to be pretty good to make Rutgers relevant, and he made them relevant.
Yeah, but were they competing in the Big Ten at that time?
They're in the Big East, I think.
Yeah, I think that would possibly do something with that.
I don't know,
because they weren't playing all the teams that they are now.
Sort of like the Big Ten West now. Nobody's in that. Yeah. Northwestern won the Big Ten West. Tough.
Well, Northwestern actually did not have a bad year.
No, but
they're up and down. but that was a weaker division.
Any year that Wisconsin can't beat Northwestern is not good for the Big Ten, in my opinion, unless it's just an upset, because those happen. But when you're probably not expected to beat Northwestern, you're having a down year. But the Big Ten's all about the East anyway.
Yeah, your biggest schools are on that side, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. And that I think that's one thing that they tried to not to, – to do with the Leaders Legends division is kind of split it up a little bit more because they knew it was uneven. Yeah. But then ultimately with everyone saying they needed to go to, you know, to East-West divisions, and they finally did it, and it just made it unbalanced.
No, it's so unbalanced. I mean, the East should win it every year. Unless Wisconsin's just a juggernaut.
Yeah. And it's not crazy to think that Wisconsin being a juggernaut because they've been good in the past.
And they got a great running back.
They just had a lot of injuries.
They don't have a quarterback that can do anything other than throw a cross.
Yeah, I'm not a big Horny Brook fan.
I don't think he's that good.
All right, so another head coaching move. Kansas State finally announced their new head coach, and it's I forget his first name, but it's Klein
Chris.
From North Dakota State. Yeah, Chris Klein.
Okay. Great hire.
That's what I thought it was.
Great hire.
You think that he'll actually be able to translate what he's done at the FCS level to the Big
12? Yeah, I believe he can. I think that's a great hire. If you ever watch North Dakota State play, or North Dakota, which one is it?
Yeah, it's North Dakota State. Okay.
The Bison, watch them play. They play a solid brand of football on both sides of the ball. I mean, they know what they want to do. Easton Stick's a big-time quarterback now in that league. I think he's sort of like Carson Wentz. I wouldn't say he's as good as Carson Wentz, but there's two quarterbacks now that he's probably going to have drafted out of North Dakota, and that doesn't really happen, in my opinion. You look at that. If you can get two quarterbacks drafted out of there, and Easton Stick may be drafted early, who knows? Depends on how he does at the combine and stuff. But that's a feat all on its own. They got three big-time running backs there, and their defense is always pretty solid. So I just think it's a great hire for Kansas State.
Yeah, it is. And you're replacing Bill Snyder, who's a legend in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And you get him with a guy like this, I don't think that there could have been a better move for it.
You're hiring a legend out of Fargo. I mean, he's been there 5 years, but he's a legend in Fargo forever, in my opinion.
You have to think, with the Big 12 getting less miles and now with Klieman, they don't run the air raid offensives that you see from these other schools.
No.
And they actually focus on their defense. Could this be the start of something different with the Big 12 with these two hires?
No. It's not going to change until you get into one of the blue blood programs of the conference. And Texas Tech's still going to open it up and throw the ball. Texas is going to open it up. Oklahoma State's going to open it up. Oklahoma's going to open it up. Baylor's going to open it up. And, I mean, there's just too many schools like that, and only two. I don't think just two can change the culture of the entire league. Because I think still you're going to struggle to stop Texas and Oklahoma, no matter who you are, in my opinion. But as long as Sam Ellinger in there.
Well, you have to think, it only took one man to put the Big 12 like it is today, and that's Mike Leach when he went to Texas Tech in 2000, and everybody saw it. And the reason I ask that is because maybe now if more jobs open up in the Big 12, they'll look to move away from that and try to build better defenses and more relaxed offenses.
It all depends on who the athletic director is, in my opinion, and what style they want their football program to go in. And these two guys obviously wanted to go for a more balanced attack with more guys who focus more on defense than others. But I just don't think it's going to make that big of a difference just because of the two schools that it's at. I just don't. I still think that these other schools like Texas and Oklahoma can still get better defensive recruits than Kansas and Kansas State can.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be a process for them to get recruits in.
They're going to have to develop 2 and 3 stars, sort of like what the guy at Iowa does. that's sort of the way they're going to have to build their program starting out.
And I think that that's not a bad idea, you know, because you have to have good player development. We just talked about Butch Jones, and he couldn't develop these players to be, you know, SEC caliber and elite players. Yeah, and so if you can do that with lower-level people, then, yeah, people want to come play for you.
It's all about how you develop your talent.
Well, in other news, do you think that Tennessee will actually fill their offensive coordinator vacancy before next season? Because right now they just keep moving from person to person.
I mean, it's all about trying to find the right fit. I really don't know what style they're trying to find, but they're just running through guy after guy after guy, and they're going to eventually – I think you'll see right in between the signing periods right now, they'll have somebody to get in between those signing periods. Because I don't think they're going to get anybody before this first one. And Butch Jones is probably on the road – or Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt's probably on the road every day right now and struggling to find time with to meet with guys and really find out if that's who he wants, because he's more focused on getting recruits for the early signing period right now than anything else.
Yeah, and I think really Pruitt wants somebody that he has full faith in to run the offense. And it's hard to find a guy like that.
I mean, there's not many out there, especially with a defensive coach. You have to bring in a guy who you fully trust to implement their system and run it.
Yeah, and I think the name that keeps popping up on a lot of people's is Ken Browse.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of baggage with that name.
I mean, it would have been like the same as hiring Hugh Freeze. A lot of baggage attached, just a different type of it.
Well, I mean, Mike McIntyre comes with his own little baggage. You know, he had the whole domestic violence thing with the assistant. It just didn't get blown out of proportion like Urban Meyer's did.
I mean, everybody, you look back, you can find something wrong with anybody, in my opinion. And I was like, with the people who dug through Kyler Murray's Twitter to find tweets from when he was 14, 15 years old. I mean, if you have nothing better to do than look and see what's wrong with somebody, just move on and do something else with your life. I mean, there's no need to have to dig this much. I mean, it took 5 years to get something on Hugh Freeze. I mean, that's just ridiculous. If you're going to dig and search this much, just quit. I mean, it's not worth it. Their goal is solely to hurt the person who is enjoying success. And there's too many people like that in the world.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought the Kyler Murray thing up, because I was going to ask you about it. And I know that he was your Heisman pick for the majority of the season.
I mean.
And you see people coming out and doing this, and I know we don't get really political on here. So if I go too far, just say shut up. Yeah. But if you're a grown man or a grown woman, and you're an adult, and you write an article about something that a 14, 15-year-old kid tweeted.
He's now 21, 22.
You know, you really do need to get a life, because I'm not the same person I was when I was 14, 15. And thank God I'm not.
I mean, who is?
Teenagers are stupid.
You do stupid stuff when you're young. And he didn't delete his tweets because he's 14, 15 years old. He's not thinking, oh, I don't think I need to tweet this. I may win the Heisman or be in the college football playoff one day. He's not thinking about that. Nobody is at 14 years old when they're tweeting something like that. I mean, just let he was a kid. Kids do stupid stuff, like you said. It's okay. It's not the end of the world that he tweeted that at 15. If he tweeted that 2 months ago, it'd be a different story. But he didn't.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, in my opinion. Yeah. I just think it's people trying to get something on somebody so you click on their article. That's all it is. I just think it's clickbait for somebody to get views.
Yeah, and the thing, in my opinion, is I don't even remember what I tweeted when I was that age, you know?
I didn't even.
And I probably don't want to see what I tweeted.
I didn't even have a Twitter at 15. I mean, as much as he probably tweets, imagine how long it took to go back that far on his Twitter.
Yeah. It would take a while.
I mean, it was probably 3 or 4 hours to get that far, at least.
I mean, I just see all the stuff that I put on Facebook, you know, because it comes along with your memories, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's not like anything like that, but it's like you say childish things and you talk about your emotions more when you're that age, and you joke around with your friends more.
I mean, and what kind of special person you have to be to watch a Heisman ceremony and they announce Kyler Murray wins a Heisman, and the first thing you go to, okay, I'm going to go see if he tweeted anything that's wrong. Let's go look at his Twitter, see what we can find to ruin this kid's life.
Yeah, I think it was Nick Saban that did this, to be honest with you.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You know, the double works hard, but Nick Saban works harder.
The Bill Belichick of college football.
Exactly.
I mean,
the video with Kareem Hunt comes out, and I told you, yeah, that's Bill Belichick. He was saving it till they got good.
Yeah. He did it at the right time, man, because they're probably going to have to go to Arrowhead now. If they play in the playoffs, they got to go to Arrowhead.
Yeah, speaking of the NFL, though, what a wild weekend it was in terms of the end of the game.
There was just so many wild plays this past weekend. Just so many. I mean, you got the uncharacteristic Jared Goff throwing four picks against the Bears defense that is legit. Mahomes on 4th and 9 just lobbing one up and Tyreek Hill going and getting it. Mahomes throwing a no-look pass in football. I don't know if I've ever seen that. You got Cooper going off. 3 go-ahead touchdowns, the miracle in Miami, and then you got the controversy of last night with what's his name jumping over the line to block a punt, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, and you also got to think about Boswell falling on the last second field goal.
Yeah, and I hear they blamed the ground for that. It wasn't his fault. It was the soil's fault. It was the ground's fault. It wasn't his fault. The Steelers don't take ownership for anything. You know, Big Ben, that wasn't his fault on that pick a few weeks ago. They don't do anything wrong in Pittsburgh. They just they do everything right. They just get screwed by everything else.
Yeah, they just end up losing ball
games. They purposely made the ground soft in that one area because they knew that's where the kick was going to be. There's a Steelers fan for you.
Here's a question for you in the NFL, speaking of the Sunday night game with the Rams and the Bears. Yeah. Do you think that the Bears are legitimate contenders in the NFC right now?
I mean, I think they have a shot with that defense. I mean, they're going to be in any game because more than likely, if the Rams keep winning and the Saints keep winning, they're going to be on the road after week one, after the first week of the playoffs. And lucky for them, defense travels. I don't know if they get matched up with the Saints, I'm a little more worried. I think they're okay matched up against the Rams. Because you look at the game, I mean, they had pressure on Jared Goff. They were in his face almost every time he dropped back. He didn't have any time to do anything. I mean, that defensive line's probably collectively the best in football today, even better than the Rams, in my opinion, collectively. But I think they have a shot just because of their defense. If they give up about 3 or 4 touchdowns, I say no. Because I don't know if they can score that much.
Yeah, and the thing with Goff is, and I know this is a stupid thing, and I'm not a huge Goff fan.
Me neither.
So this is completely – it's unbiased. But you get a Cali kid, and he's having to go on the road in November in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's hard to play in that weather.
Yeah.
I know that I would probably throw 4 picks more than that.
It's not fun to play in the weather, and I think that had a key role in the game.
You know, you got to look back at Brett Favre. You know, he's a Mississippi boy playing in Wisconsin,
yeah.
And he was, I mean, coveralls all the way from head to toe.
Yeah. And, I mean, you see the Rams are probably right now big Saints fans hoping they went out and then hoping they went out to get the 2 seed because I don't think they mind going to the Dome. They would much rather go to the Dome than anywhere else.
But, yeah, and I can tell you one
– because it's
one,
climate
one
control.
Team that wants to play in the Dome. Yeah. Well – the Saints need to be home field advantage because you look back in the Sean Payton era, they're 5-0 at home in the playoffs,
yeah.
At home, and then on the road they're 1-5.
It's key for them to be at home.
And I don't know if I can remember. Usually, you win 11 ball games. There's no question that you're the number one seed, home field advantage.
And
but then this year, you've got to win. You got to win 14.
Yeah.
To know for sure.
You have to.
And what do you think makes it like that? You think it's because the league's going more offense and all in this direction?
That's what it is. Everybody's going more offense. And you see these teams that have big defenses, they're leading their divisions. I mean, the Cowboys lean on their defense, they're leading their division. The Bears lean on their defense, and they're leading their division. So, I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, the Bears probably have the best once they get their offense figured out with their offensive-minded coach and that defense. They'll be pretty tough. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody nowadays are trying to go for offense, but defense can still win you football games in the NFL.
Yeah, and you talk about the Bears and the Cowboys, for instance. They're leading their division, but they're nowhere near right now in talks of leading the conference. No. And I kind of agree with what you said about the Bears. If someone scores 3-4 touchdowns on them, I don't think that the Bears will win that game.
Yeah.
But now the question is can you score 3 or 4 on that defense?
Yeah. I mean, and you say they're not close to leading the conference, but I mean, if you would have said the Cowboys were 8-5 and the Bears were 9-4 at the beginning of the season to each of those teams, they would have taken it in a heartbeat. It's just that you have the Saints and the Rams that are 11-2 going off. I mean,
yeah, and then on the other side, you know,
the two best
Chargers get over the
low. The two best records are in the AFC West.
Yes, and it's going to be heartbreaking because I think the Chargers Chiefs, they do play one more time, if I'm not mistaken, it's this week.
Yeah.
And you got to win if you're the Chargers.
They play this weekend in Kansas City.
And that's going to be a tough game. And to have 10 wins and be a wild card, that's unheard
of. That's tough. I mean, because they're probably going to have – I'll say if they lose this week, that's 10-4.
They'll win 12 ball games.
Then they play the Ravens and go to Denver. So two games that aren't gimmies. So we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and you got to think Melvin Gordon is going to be key in this because he's been hurt the last couple weeks, and they've got to get him healthy if they want to, you know, make a run at the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Imagine them having to play the Patriots in the wild card game or the first weekend.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing.
Because if the Patriots lose again, I mean, they're tied with the Texans for that second spot.
The scariest team to me right now, the two scariest teams as far as hot streaks and everything, they're both it's the Texans and the Cowboys. I think they're both hot at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's what's scary.
I mean, you look at it, though, if the Colts don't have that bad loss to Jacksonville last week, they're sitting there at 8-5, one game back of the Texans. So, I mean.
Yeah, the AFC is definitely a toss-up right now.
That's another team I wouldn't want to play. Because when the Colts are scoring, I don't think anybody wants to play them. And that was proven beating the hottest team in the league in the Houston Texans.
Well, I mean, T.Y. Hilton owns the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
And you look at his last probably 5 or 6 games against them, and maybe even further than that. That's the team he goes off against.
Yeah. Talking about owning teams, the Dolphins own the Patriots in Miami.
Yeah, it's been a while since the Patriots have won in Miami, hasn't it?
Tom Brady's 7-10 in Miami for his career.
Yeah.
That's you wouldn't expect that coming from Tom Brady. And, I mean, the Dolphins are sitting right there at 7-6 and in the hunt for a playoffs position right now. I mean, who would have thought that coming into the season?
Well, the thing to me is the Browns honestly are still in the playoff hunt. They have to have a lot of things go their way, and they need some help.
But that's
something that you wouldn't have imagined.
No. I mean, I think we said before the season started right at 6 wins. I thought they would get 6-7 wins, and they're sitting on 5 right now. So, I mean, I saw something funny the other day. It said Greg Williams, head coach, 3 wins in 4 weeks, I think. Or something like that, 3-4.
Yeah, that's true.
And it said Hugh Jackson, 3 wins in 3 years. I thought that was pretty funny.
It took Hugh Jackson 40 games to get 3 wins, and it took Greg Williams 4.
They're playing well. Baker's playing better. The offense is starting to click a little bit.
And I think Greg Williams will be their guy.
Yeah, I think you have to after, if especially if this continues.
Yeah. Think about if they win out, there's three more games, yeah. They win out, and you get six wins. I mean, you've doubled what the last head coach did in 3 years in a half a season.
You can't not give them the job if they win out. Especially,
and if I'm Greg Williams and they don't offer me the job, then I'm leaving on my own.
I mean, and they go to Denver this week, Sunday Night Football, I believe.
That's a winnable ball game.
They come home and play Cincinnati. That's winnable.
That is very winnable.
And then they go to Baltimore.
That'll be a tough one, but I think that they could, they pull out the cards right. They can win it.
I'm just excited to watch them on primetime this week.
Yeah, we haven't got to watch Baker Mayfield really.
No, I will be glued to the TV for this one.
And I think that we talk about TV deals a lot, and the NFL needs to do something else differently, because I understand DirecTV owns the Sunday package and whatnot, but I only get two
games. Yeah, that's all we get here. We may get three here.
And it's usually the Titans and the Saints, regional coverage, depending on what time of the day they play.
Yeah.
And more teams are getting primetime spots, and I understand that more teams deserve primetime spots. But I feel like young players, kind of like Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, which Mahomes is getting a lot of primetime with the Chiefs, but they deserve primetime games as well. Yeah.
I 100% agree with that, because, I mean, you see what happened the only time he's been in prime time this year, Thursday night game. I mean, they put on the show.
And I think if the NFL is going to continue with the Thursday night football, they've got to get better matchups.
And I just think he takes his game to the next level in prime time as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's when all eyes are on you, man, and you got to do what you got to do.
Primetime players make big time plays in primetime.
Yeah. We probably won't do one together, another podcast this week. So I'm going to ask you this right now. The bowl season starting Saturday.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am.
What game Saturday are you looking most forward to?
Well, you're going to have to tell them to me. I haven't researched that yet.
Well, I'll tell you mine, and you probably will agree with it. It's going to be Arizona State and Fresno State. They're playing Saturday.
And that'll probably be the best game.
This is a very good offense and a very, with Fresno State, they picked up a big conference championship.
Yeah.
And if UCF wasn't undefeated, they would have been the next group of five to get an at-large bid.
I agree with that.
And so, it's kind of a tough draw with Arizona State, because they're getting the number two group of five team, and they're losing they don't have their number one receiver. No. So Manny Wilkins and Benjamin, they're really going to have to make some plays.
I think it's going to be tough.
I think it'll be a close game.
It should be.
Well, man, you got any final thoughts today?
How'd you enjoy the snow up there this past weekend? How'd that go?
Okay, so it snowed overnight.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah, so it wasn't like I had to get out and drive in or anything like that. I honestly didn't even see it.
Yeah,
I saw a little bit of it the next morning, but it didn't stick. And you know me, I hate the snow, and I'm about to have to go to Ohio, and it's going to start snowing as soon as we land.
No, I hate the snow. I'm glad I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, It's actually warming up today. It's like, it snowed two nights ago, and now it's 51 today.
Yeah, it's around that here. It's not bad. The sun's finally out. First time I've seen it in a month, feels like.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's out here. That's just Mississippi weather for you.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. My final thoughts would be this. If you are an Ole Miss fan and – you're upset about the Mike McIntyre hire, I'm going to tell everybody else the same thing I told you. Getting Pete Golden would have been a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah.
Getting Mike McIntyre is a home run hire.
I agree.
And I think that it's going to be a good fit. I think that he'll do better. Obviously, he can't do much worse.
Yeah.
And that Ole Miss fans are going to need to give him a chance at all this. And also, Oklahoma fans, when you don't get Pete Golden, don't start crying.
I mean, you're going to get a good guy. I think Lincoln Riley can hire a good guy. We'll just have to see.
But I really hope Oklahoma doesn't get him just because of their fan base blowing up our mentions like that.
I'd like to see it. But I just don't think he's going to go.
I don't think he's leaving Tuscaloosa. No. Not this year, at least.
No. I don't think he is either.
Well, man, I hope you have a good day.
You too, man.
Go enjoy your cookies with your Nana.
I will. I would certainly do that.
All right, well, I hope everyone else has a good
one. All right, and be safe going to Ohio, man. Have fun up there.
I'll try. Hopefully the plane don't malfunction.
We'll pray for you. We'll all be praying for you.
Hey, listen, though, if I go missing, you know, if they can't find my plane,
yeah,
don't presume you're dead.
No, watch Manifest. I will not presume that you are dead. I'll wait 5 years for you, and then I will presume that you're dead.
That's fair. Give me five years.
I'll give you 5 years to come back to us.
All right, man.
All right, dude.